Okay, welcome to episode number 5 of Less Trauma Bond. So if this is your first time here for the podcast, Less Trauma Bond is all about talking about traumas, talking about how certain things that happen in our life relate to trauma and my own personal experience and learn about your guys' experience. I'm really about healing the mental, healing the physical. Y'all, if y'all don't know, I am a weight loss coach, certified weight loss coach, y'all. I lost over 158 pounds. I will put in the description box. If you're watching this on YouTube, I will put it in the description box. My website called imperfectlyfit.org, where you can learn how to be your best healthy self mentally, physically, emotionally. So, yes. So, y'all, this episode, as y'all can see, I'm in a new space. It's official, y'all. I'm actually podcasting in a podcast studio, which is super exciting. In this episode, we're going to talk about decentering men. I know on the internet, a lot of people are talking about decentering men, but I finally feel like in my life, I have finally decentered men. And it's so bizarre because I grew up depending on men, almost in a way of being codependent in general. And so now I'm really learning how to stop being codependent and just be by myself and be alone, actually. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about it. So we're going to really talk about what I feel like decentering men means to me personally. It can mean something different to everyone, right? This is the internet. We make our own definitions up at this point. For me, decentering men personally has been really focusing on myself instead of always focusing on who am I going to date? Who am I going to be with? Who am I going to spend my time with? And then when I am with somebody, not always focus on them, like, oh, when am I going to see them? When am I going to talk to them? Did they text me today? Or what are they doing? Like being anxiously attached to a partner. And now instead, I'm actually focusing on myself. Like, what do I enjoy? What do I like? What do I want to do? What are my goals? Not what are our goals? Not what do they want to do? Not let me put myself last and prioritize a relationship. Decentering men to me is really loving yourself and focusing on yourself. And y'all, I'm in this journey real, real bad. I'm going to just go back to how I used to be and then kind of explain how I've changed, what has helped me change. But before, y'all, I used to be in a relationship all the time. Like, I would never stay single. Like, even if I was in a relationship, I was in a situationship. So every year since I was 19, I have been in a relationship with somebody or in a situationship with somebody. This has been my first year of being single. And y'all see it a lot. I talk about my dating experiences, like me going on dates, me being on Hinge, me like living my best life and dating multiple people, as you should, okay? Because you should be focusing on yourself. I think dating multiple men is decentering men. And what I mean by that is it's giving yourself options to choose who you actually want to be with, who is actually the best, instead of centering your attention on one man. It gives you the opportunity to understand what do you like, what parts of these men you actually feel are genuinely good for you and what parts are not good for you, who should go, who shouldn't go, who should stay. So it's a really good deciding factor. But y'all see me go through this journey of this whole year. I just kind of been dating. Like, I've been dating. Y'all see me go to Switzerland. Y'all see me try to get back with my ex. Y'all see the toxic sides of me. Y'all see me try to get back with my ex. Y'all seen the whole, if y'all haven't seen it, I have the video on YouTube. If you are listening to this instead of watching it on YouTube, my YouTube is It's a Joanna Thing. So you can see on my YouTube channel that I just came back from Switzerland like 3 months ago, maybe not even that. I think it's close to 3 months. So I had to sort through some things, mostly because a lot of times in my life, when I got lonely, I felt like I needed to be with somebody. Instead of understanding, no, I need to be with myself. I need to love myself. I need to learn my hobbies. So growing up, in high school, y'all, I was a big girl in high school, so I didn't have a man at all, y'all. I didn't have a man. I didn't have a boyfriend. I literally got my first boyfriend at the age of 19, y'all. I lost my virginity at 19. I was a late bloomer. So from junior high school to high school, I never had a man. I was always single. But then once I lost my virginity, y'all, it was like I always had a man. Like, and I had to realize that my relationships were not lasting long. Like, they were only lasting like 3 months. It would be like, okay, we dating, we talking, they want to be with me or I want to be with them. Let's just be together like that. We would never thoroughly get to know each other. And then I would realize, oh, I don't really like them that much. They're getting on my nerves. They're giving me anxiety because of my attachment issues. I need to leave them. I need to break up with them. So it was kind of like a cycle of like, I was just dating people. I would be in a relationship with them for 3 months, maybe 6 months. Then we break up. Then I'll be with the next person 3 months to 6 months. Then we break up. And it was kind of like, I always had a placeholder for the next guy. Like, it was always like, okay, when I'm done with this guy, I know this guy been DMing me every day. Okay, he been on my body. Even in my body, even on my Snapchat, he been telling me how fine I am. So he's up next. Like, okay, you start acting funny, baby, someone's going to replace you real quick. So that's, as a woman, it's so easy to replace a man. And that is actually one of the scary parts of decentering men, because as a woman, you have so many options when it comes to men. It always feels like, all right, well, if it don't work out with him, I'll get another one. Instead of like, if it don't work out with him, I'm going to find myself. And I'm actually going for real. Not those kind of find myself where it's like, oh, you first break up, so you want to glow up. So you want to go to the gym for a week. You want to look cute for a week and post because you want to make him feel mad or, you know, feel like, oh, dang, I done messed up. I done lost a real one. But more of a real glow up where it's like, nah, like, actually, I want to find myself. Like, what do I like? Especially for people that have been in relationships for years. What do I even like? What are my hobbies? Like, what do I enjoy without another person? What can I do by myself that I normally don't do by myself? What truly makes me happy outside of trying to find validation out of somebody else? So my journey all took a turn. Like, when I lost weight, I'm not gonna lie, health is wealth. And this is a big thing that I focus on. Like, I never knew how much being healthy would make you happier until I actually been through it. And it's not just the weight aspect of being smaller. It's actually about the eating the right foods, right? Doing the right exercises. Not even just the right exercises, just doing exercising. Y'all, literally, I run. When I run, that's when I feel so light. I feel free. When I run, I feel like I don't have to think about my problems. I don't got to think about nothing. I actually just get to enjoy the nature. I love running outside, y'all. At first, I was scared to run outside because I used to be 326 pounds. If I was running outside before, I would be huffing and puffing and people would be like, girl, what are you doing? Like, girl, are you in the wrong place? So now that I'm smaller, I had to build up the courage to run outside. And once I start doing it, I really loved it. All right. So I found my passions and I found my hobbies through losing weight. Because once I started losing weight, I was not scared to try new things. I think before, when I was overweight or obese, I was scared to try new things. So for me, I found comfort in my partners. I found comfortable being with a man all the time. And it does stem from some childhood stuff, which we'll get into at the end, because that's when we get into the trauma bonding aspect of the episodes, y'all. And I might be looking down at my watch here and there because of the simple fact I'm actually in a studio nowadays. But yes, so I had to learn once I was the last person I dated, because the last time, y'all, I was in a situationship was last year. I ended things right before the 4th of July. And I remember it because it was before the 4th of July. And he was supposed to come to the 4th of July. I was throwing a pool party. He was supposed to come. Everyone was supposed to meet him. And I told him, no, actually, I don't want you to come. Actually, we're done. Actually, this chapter has ended. Okay. So I didn't realize. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you cannot decenter men, you are insecure and you don't love yourself. If you feel like you always have to have a man, you have to stick in a relationship, and people think that just because somebody is in a long-term relationship, like they've been with somebody for years, that means that, oh, the relationship is good and, you know, they just know how to commit and all these things. And sometimes it actually can look like they just don't know how to be alone. Sometimes it can look like they just tolerate a lot of things that they don't deserve because they are afraid to be alone or they're afraid to be uncomfortable. And you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable when you want to flourish, when you want to grow. Y'all, I cut all my hair, not all of it, but most of my hair off, y'all. I'm in a transitional period and in a period where I'm learning myself so much and I'm loving myself so much where it is getting to the point like I don't care who I got to let go. I don't care who I got to let go to make myself happier. So going back to that, the 4th of July, I broke it off with him. Because I knew from the beginning, y'all questioned myself, and I'm blaming my old coworker. I don't think she's gonna watch this, but she might watch this. I might clip this, put on Instagram so she can see it. But I had to realize that I have a very strong discernment. I have strong intuition, and I had to realize a lot of people don't have that. So you have to watch out when you're asking for advice from people and looking for validation from people. And that's also a part about decentering men, because a lot of times if you center men in your life and that is your top priority, it is because you need validation. You need something to make you feel good. You need someone to make you feel good. So when you stop seeking validation from outside sources, which is something I had to learn, it's very hard, you start to trust yourself, right? In the beginning, I did not trust myself. Back then, y'all didn't trust myself. So I was dating this guy, and it was a guy that I dated before in the past. Red flag. Do not date nobody from your past. Baby, I don't care. I don't care. People say people could change. This. Do not date nobody from your past. You were not with them for a reason. You were not. And that is something I had to learn, because y'all, the way that I was so scared to be alone, the way that I could not decenter men, it was if I was single and I didn't have my backup nigga, I'm going back to the old nigga. I'm hitting the old nigga back. baby, when it got like lonely for me, okay, I need to go back to my ex. So I had to unlearn them behaviors, and that is actually just a recent thing. But in the beginning stages, when I was talking to this guy on the first week, y'all, mind you, we dated before, but I was a freshman in college when we dated. This was my first boyfriend. Well, I had a first boyfriend before him, but this was my first real boyfriend for real, because we were together for probably like 4 months, even though some people don't think that was long, but at that time, that was my longest relationship. So when I was 19, I met him and I really loved him, you know. Well, my first love type of vibe. Now that I've been in love, I kind of understood that maybe that wasn't the, I mean, I think it's the first love, but it's not that deep love connection, right? So anyways, y'all, I really love this man. And we spent a lot of time together. But when we were dating the first time, I remember the first month or so, he had gotten an Uber with some random stranger and he took acid. He did some acid and he called me, y'all. He literally called me to tell me that he took acid. He was like, oh, I took acid and all I can think about is you. At this point, I never knew he did anything, right? This was kind of our first month dating, so I was like, okay, you taking acid? At this point, I didn't even know what acid is, okay? No offense to my white viewers, but acid is a very white drug. I mean, now, you know, a lot of black people getting on psychedelics and stuff like that, so that's different. But back then, y'all, when I was 19, I ain't never heard no damn acid, okay? As a black person, all I heard of is crack, cocaine, heroin, stuff like that. Weed, of course. But, like, I ain't never, and pills and stuff like that, but I ain't never heard no acid. What is acid? So anyways, y'all, he told me he was on acid. I started researching, y'all, because I used to want to be a drug counselor. That's part of the trauma, y'all, because I've seen a lot of drug abuse in my family, a lot of alcohol abuse. So I used to want to be a drug counselor, y'all. I didn't even start drinking until I was 19. Everybody else was drinking at 16. So I would go to parties and stuff and be like, no, I don't drink. No, I'm not going to drink. No, I'm never going to drink because I grew up with alcoholic. So for me, I was like, acid, are you crazy? Y'all, I used to do dare conversations with my brother about weed because his friends were smoking weed. And I literally would print stuff off like, you know, weed is a gateway drug. Do you know what it does to the chemistry of your brain? Bro, what I... Baby, I had to calm down because you doing too much. Now, I done smoked some weed, okay? Not for me, okay? Done went to psychosis so I can see what that shit can do, okay? But I was just going home. Like, I don't play about them drug shit. I don't play with it. So when he had told me, I was like, don't ever call me again. I don't ever want to talk to you anymore. I started crying. Y'all, I start to cry on the phone because the man was doing acid. Now I can laugh about it, but baby, when I tell you I was ready to break up with that man, I didn't give no fucks. I said, no, I don't ever want to talk to you again. You're doing acid. Like, I cannot believe that. And I started crying. And the reason for this, and this is where we get into the trauma bonding. I'm going to just have the trauma bonding throughout the whole episode because what God has told me my gift is success. Vulnerability is the key to success. I think it's really the key to success for anybody, but specifically for me, vulnerability is the key to success. And I think that's one big thing we're missing in the Black community is vulnerability. We hide a lot of things. We get embarrassed by a lot of things, but we have to understand that we're humans and our stories help other people. Okay. So make sure that you're understanding that if you're holding things in, you're only destroying yourself, right? So anyways, y'all, that triggered me so much because growing up, my uncle was a crackhead. My mom told me he was a crackhead. When she told me this, because I was like, oh, that's my favorite uncle. That's my favorite uncle. I don't know why. One day she just told me that he was a crackhead. And it broke my little heart. Y'all, when I tell you, I was so sad. I said, nah, that's not my favorite uncle no more. He a crackhead. That ain't my... Oh my God, that's so crazy. But I did not look at my uncle the same, and I still don't to this day. And it's really sad because that's something that I have to let go, right? But that broke my heart so much because I looked up to my uncle so much. And then when I found out he was a crackhead, I said, damn, I can't look up to him no more. So I seen that growing up. I had an alcoholic stepfather that my mom stayed with for a very long time. Like, she stayed with him for probably 16, probably more years than that, maybe 20 years. She was, nah, 20 years is kind of crazy. I think she was with him close, probably like 19, 18 years, something like that, y'all, since I was a kid. And this man would drink and drink and drink every day. He will be drunk. He will be so drunk that he will run into the refrigerator, y'all. He would run into the refrigerator. He would be drinking beers and E&J and stuff like that. He would be punching holes in the wall, y'all. I grew up seeing that a lot, like him punching holes in the wall, him putting his hands on my mom. I never seen it, but I heard her screams. And that was a lot for me as a child. It really is something inside of me, y'all. By the way, I'm coming out with a book called Less Trauma Bond, and it's gonna be all poems, and there's gonna be a poem about that, and that coincides with codependency. So if you cannot decenter men, maybe look back into your childhood about what kind of codependency problems maybe happened as a child that you seen growing up that has reflected in your own life. So I see my mom being codependent on a man, being with a man for over 19 years that was a drunk and alcoholic that would assault her, put his hands on her, put holes in the wall, would be a little psychotic, right? So I seen that. So I always told I promised myself as a kid, I said, I'm never going to stay with a man that doesn't make me happy. Y'all, that one like really touched my soul because as a child, I was telling myself, I will never be with a man that doesn't make me happy. And honestly, I stuck to that a little too hard. I stuck to it a little too hard and I thought I was doing something. I thought I was doing my big one, but I still had traumas that I had to work on. So I was getting relationships right. And when they do stuff, like as he called me, told me he was on acid, the first thing I'm like, we're done. No more. You're not making me happy. You got to go. But what I realized, I would do that all the time. That's why my relationships was like 3 to 4 months. Now to this day, y'all, I still feel like my longest relationship was maybe close to a year, and it wasn't even a year. Probably was like 11 months, 10 months, like that. So anyways, and that was with the acid guy. So anyways, y'all, so I noticed I got my codependency problems from my mother, in the sense of, even though I was breaking up with them, I still kept needing somebody. I still kept needing a man around. And seeing my mom just kept needing him, it almost felt like, well, I knew she didn't love herself, but at the time I didn't understand that she was so in love with a man that she didn't care about herself. And no matter, y'all, I would try to make him break up with him. And there was times I literally was like, Mom, like, you just got to be done with him. Like, he should not be here no more, y'all. There was times where I helped my mom, like, break it off with him. And then she would go back. And one moment that really hurt my heart, which my cousins thought was a joke and they thought it was funny. And I get it. We're kids. You don't understand. But we had moved from North Carolina to Minnesota. And I said, oh, finally, we're done with this man. And if you have kids, please decenter men. Please find yourself. Please love yourself and teach your kids the right way. With these resources that we have in the world right now. But anyways, we moved here. So I'm like, oh, thank God. Never going to see this man again. He lives in North Carolina. We live in Minnesota. She was finally done. And I felt like she is finally done. And then he ends up moving to Minnesota. So the first day he got here, I started bawling my eyes out, because I was like, no, there's no way. He's here. And I started crying. And my cousins thought it was a joke. They're like, why? Like, why is this a big problem that he's here? They knew he was alcoholic because you can smell the liquor on his throat, right? All the time. But they never got to see that other side of him. I'm like, he had those bad sides of him when he got too drunk, you know, putting holes in the wall, kicking down doors. He's kicked in our doors several times, and that caused a lot of anxiety. Like, not knowing, okay, when they break up, is he going to try to come and break down the doors? Is he going to try to, like, harm us? And honestly, I really think that man loved my mother more than he loved himself as well. And I really do think he would kill her. At that time, I really felt like he would kill her. He loved her so much that he would kill her, to almost have her to himself in a way. Like, I think if my mom ever moved on to another man after him, he would have killed her. But my mom never got back into another relationship. So, and now he has passed away. That's a whole nother story. But on top of this, y'all, when going back to my story, is he told me about the acid situation and stuff like that. We end up staying together. He ended up telling me, I would never do that again. And he told me recently, y'all, when we were together last year, before I broke up with him, July 4th, we had started rekindling November, I believe. November 2023 or something like that, whatever. So once we, no, it's 2022. Y'all, I'm losing days. But anyways, when we had rekindled, he said, I never forgot that day. Like, I never forgot when I got on the phone with you and I did acid and you started crying. You made me feel so bad. Which you should, sir. You should. Because at that time, no, I lie. Y'all, at that time, I was 21. He was 19. Actually, yes. At that time, I just turned 21. He was 19. So anyways, you're 19 doing acid. What's next? So anyways, y'all, so we end up staying together. We end up breaking up because he ends up moving out of state for college. I supported him because he was like, oh, I might stay here. Like, I don't want to leave you. And I'm like, no, I want you to do what's best for you. So he ended up moving. But before he moved, I was like, hey, you need to see me before you move. He's like, I got to work. I have to work. I need these coins. And I said, no, you have to see me. Y'all, that was the problem. I was very controlling. Okay, you guys. So yes, I was very controlling, and it was kind of a way to, like, protect myself and have this anxiety attachment style and all these type of things. But anyways, I was like, no, you need to see me. And he literally ignored me because he's like, I can't see you. I already told you no. So let me just avoid you. 'Cause that's what I attract, avoidant men. So anyways, long story short, y'all end up breaking up with him impulsively because I'm like, okay, you don't want to see me? You're never going to see me again. Anyways, he did. Years later. So anyways, after that happened, y'all, we had our little back and forth a couple times and we just let it go, right? So when we rekindled, y'all, we rekindled 5 years later, whatever, when last 4th of July. We rekindled last November or something like that, like I said. So when we had rekindled on the first date, you know, on the first day, everything was cool, y'all. I ain't gonna get too much into the first date because it's not about decentering, man, because we gonna be here all day if we try to do that one. So anyways, y'all, so the first date and stuff was cool. But we were very clear that we're not looking for a relationship. He not looking for a relationship. I wasn't either. We both just got our relationship. We just chilling, right? But that's pretty hard to do when y'all was in a relationship before. So by the second date, this is what I mean about listening to my inner self and being codependent, because at this point I had just got out of a relationship. It was time for me to just focus on me. Now, mind you, I wasn't up in his DMs. He found me on Facebook and he reached out to me. Okay. But I manifested him. That's a whole nother, baby. I manifested that man. And you got to watch out what you ask for. Cause baby, when I ask for stuff, it always happens. And I need to be careful because what you ask for don't be good for you sometimes. So anyways, y'all, I manifested that man back and he actually came out of nowhere within the next week or two and he added me on Facebook and he reached out to me. So anyways, second date, y'all, second date, he's already telling me, well, you know, let's go to the movies. Like, he's a planner. Like, he wants to go do stuff. So he messaged me like, oh, let's go to the movies. Let's go see this movie. Da, da, da. He loved the movies, bro. I swear to whew, like, I was so motherfucking tired of the movies after this, man. Like, please don't ever take me to the movies again. Anyways, y'all, so boom. We planned this date to the movies. Then he says, well, you know you're going to have to pay this time, right? Because I paid the last time. So I said, excuse me? Excuse moi? So, y'all, I go off. At this point, I say, you know what, baby? I don't even do the 50-50 nothing, okay? My last man paid for everything. The man before that paid for everything. Baby, I haven't been with no 50-50 nigga since I was in college, like freshman, sophomore year, okay? Cut the show. I'm done. So anyways, I go off of him just pretty much saying like, oh, I am not paying, da da da. If you just don't have money, just let me know. I went off of him and I tell my coworker, I said, girl, I don't think I should go on with him no more. I do not think I should. I think I just should stop talking to him right now. And she's like, oh no, well, some people really do think 50-50 and maybe he just didn't know and all these excuses, y'all. So I was like, maybe I am being a B-I-T-C-H, right? Because he ended up hitting me up like, oh, it's okay. Like, I can pay. Like, you, like, LOL. Like, you kind of like, you doing too much. Like, I'm going to pay. Like, I'm good. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, he going to pay as he know. And I had a conversation in person with him. Like, I'm not no 50-50 bitch, okay? 70-30, you might be able to do. 50-50 ain't never happening, okay? So anyways, y'all, I literally tell him, whatever, I'll go on this date because I was listening to my coworker. Then he had told me, like, we were playing this card game and God really gives me strong discernment and I'll be like dang near psychic. We playing this card game and he keep getting the drug cards, the drug cards, the drug cards. It is this deeper, let's get deeper game and it's the couples edition. And I was getting all the other questions and he just kept getting drugs. Baby. Well, I was just like, the universe is really trying to say something to you. You know, so he kept getting these drug cards. And one of the cards was like, have you ever done coke? And he was like, yeah, I have done coke. So at this point, I'm like, hell no, you a crackhead. I'm sorry, y'all. I know there's a lot of people around here that think this is a fun drug and stuff like this. But you are a crackhead because coke is a form of crack. I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's popular. That's like crackheads going around smoking crack and it become popular. Everybody smoking crack. That don't mean that it ain't detrimental. Like, okay. So anyways, when he told me this, I was like, oh no, I need to stop talking to him. Like, oh my God. Cause he told me too. I was like, would you ever do coke again? And he was like, well, it's not like I'm searching for coke or anything. Like if I was at a party or something, like I would probably do coke. If it was there. Yes, y'all. So I decided, okay, when all this happened and he told me about this coke thing, he got all these cards about drugs. I was like, I should be done. Ask people like, oh, well, he don't really do it like that. I was just taking advice from people. I was trying to, also I was sorting through how to stop just leaving people prematurely. Cause as I said, like I would leave people very quickly, but I would tend to go back to exes. I was codependent. And even if you look at like the trauma I went through as a child with dealing with a mom that was with an alcoholic for most of my life and substance abuse, and now attracting a partner that has substance abuse problems. Obviously, he wasn't doing coke. Like, I never seen him do it. He wasn't doing it around me or anything. I have no proof that he's done it while he was talking to me in those 10 months. But I did notice when he was around me, he would drink all the time. Like, every day he was at my house, every other day he was at my house, he would be drinking. And he would bring drinks and he would bring alcohol and stuff like that. So I got to the point where I was just like, I don't want to change a man. If I don't like him, he needs to go. So long story short, like he eventually did go. I did eventually break up with him. But I was not trusting myself in the beginning. And I was just too focused on like being with a partner instead of being with myself and being happy. Like I was with a man and I was not happy with him. Why am I staying? So I learned after that, y'all, because that was the time I started transitioning a lot, y'all. So that was around the time I actually got my surgery. Before I got my surgery, I had to be on a liquid diet. During this whole time, y'all, I was on a liquid diet. And I started not having brain fog anymore. Like, I started to understand that this man wasn't for me. The way he ate wasn't for me anymore. The way he acted wasn't for me. His codependent issues were not for me. And so he taught me how to decenter men, actually in a lot of ways. So I do have to give him credit where credit is due, because he taught me how to decenter men and the fact that, hey, me and him, we didn't text every single day. We didn't text every single day. And he told me from the start, like, I don't really be texting every single day like that. Like, and I'm like, okay, cool, perfect. It actually helped me with my attachment issues, because I realized every time I text somebody every day, all day, I feel attached to them. I don't want to let them go. But if I'm not texting you, maybe you're not that cool. Like, maybe if we don't text every day, I actually don't like you that much. I'm just making shit up in my head because I'm texting you every day. So we didn't do that, but we did see each other every other day. Practically, he was at my house all the time. So it kind of had a balance. But he helped me decenter men in that way. He also helped me decenter men when it comes to finally making the decision to choose myself. Like, no, F this. I'm done. I'm actually going to not just go with somebody. I'm not going to just go and get another relationship. I'm actually going to go work out. I'm actually going to start eating healthy. I'm actually going to start doing things alone, finding my hobbies, getting outside. Y'all, I've been in my hobby era. And if you feel like you are centering men, the best solution is to get a hobby. So make sure you find things that you enjoy. Some of my hobbies and how I found them is, obviously, I love exercising and the fact of going outside. I like going to the lake, walking around the lake, running the lake, running around my neighborhood. I feel like the source of sun, the energy you get from the trees, all this universal things helps you feel of joy even after, like, you feel so rejuvenated. And obviously it's the endorphins and all that stuff. Now, what I notice when I lift, I still lift because I got to. But when I lift, I don't have as many of those endorphins. Like, I just be tired. Like, I'd be happy that I did it because I feel accomplished, but I just feel like, all right, I did what I should do today. It feels good that I did that. But when I run and I'm in nature and stuff like that, I feel like liberated. I feel like I just accomplished something. Maybe because I could not run before when I was 326 pounds. I don't know. So that's a thing that I do as a hobby. Another hobby I really like is poetry. So going back to your gifts, what was your gifts as a child? One of my gifts was poetry. I used to randomly write poems when I was going through a lot of traumatic things. Y'all gonna learn with this podcast, baby. My life was traumatic, but to the world, to my friends, to my, even some family members didn't know my story. I look perfect. I was taught how to look perfect. I was taught how to be resilient in a way, to a point that I was hurting myself with anxiety. I was hurting myself with the fear of other people's thoughts of me, right? So anyhow, y'all, hobbies, poetry. I do open mics all the time, y'all. It's hard for me to record them, but I'm trying to get better at recording them. But I do open mics and I write poems about my life, which book's going to come out soon. So y'all can definitely cop that when it's available. But that's something I do as a hobby. I obviously do YouTube as a hobby, which soon going to be like a job, right? Which, like, it's not going to feel like a job, though, because I'm not working for nobody. So I do enjoy YouTube and just documenting my stories, content creation in general, because I do a lot of things on TikTok, too. Another hobby for me is reading books. Like, I like to read. I don't like to read. Let's not lie. I force myself to read, but it feels good because of the knowledge. I like self-help books. So finding books that you actually like, that you're going to get something from, that you enjoy, right? So for me, I love self-help books, and I always feel happier after I read those type of books. I also now go to exercise groups. So I love yoga. Like, I like core power yoga, y'all. It makes me feel like the least. It makes me feel so calm in a matter that I've never been calm in my life, because I'm just so focused on doing the moves, because I be confused. So I got to put all my focus in the moves, okay? So doing the moves, sweating to death because it's heated, I feel. And then after, when you get out in that air, the AC, after all that heat, you feel like a whole new woman. So I like to do that. I just found so many hobbies that I like to do. I like to go to bars and go sit by myself and meet new people. Like, I like to go to restaurants and sit by myself and just have dinner or lunch, even if I don't meet new people, or if I do meet new people. So just finding, what do you enjoy? Even as a kid, what did you enjoy as a kid that people stole from you, or made you feel like you weren't good enough at, or made you feel like that was a dumb hobby, or that you could never accomplish that? So kind of digging a little deeper on that, treating your body right, because if you love yourself, you're gonna treat your body right. If you love yourself, you're not gonna be eating junk 24/7. You're not going to be, because when you love yourself, you want you to feel good, right? When you notice, when you eat a lot of junk, you eat a lot of trash food and stuff all the time, you don't feel good. You just don't. You feel tired, you feel groggy, you feel nauseous, you feel all those type of things. When you eat healthy, you feel energetic, you feel happy, you feel lighter, like you don't feel bloated. There's a lot of things when it comes to mental health that stems from physical health. And that's not how you look. It is about what you're doing. Like, are you eating healthier? Are you working out? It's not about the outside appearance. It's not about the weight on the scale. It's about, are you loving your body? Are you nurturing your body? So those are good ways to decenter men. I'm now in a stage, y'all, where I've been fully single for a whole entire year. Clap it up for me in them comments, y'all. Put the clapping emoji in them comments, because I have literally been single for a whole year. I never been single for a whole year. That sounds so insane. Since I was in high school. I am 28. I have never been single for a whole year. That is psychotic. That's not normal, right? So I've been single for a whole year. I've been on dates, but I've been loving myself. I love myself. I love how I look. I love how I feel. I love the energy around me. I love that I'm cutting people off that don't deserve me. I love the space that I'm in so much that I'm protecting myself, and I'm protecting my space. So even when I go to dates, I haven't been on a date now, probably in 2 months, maybe 3. I haven't been on a date in so long. And I actually feel like, I'm not gonna say I feel good about it. I don't care. I would go on a date, but I feel okay with that. So for me, finally get to a point where even when I go on dates, I'm like, you're not the one for me. Like, I went on a date. The last date I went on was with a white man. Okay.
I'm trying to switch it up because I like black men. I love African men. Like, that's my thing. But I'm trying to, like, maybe I'm choosing the same type and getting the same results. So maybe let me try to switch it up. So this was my second date with this white man. And he literally told me on this date that I started asking real questions. Mind you, y'all, when y'all ready to find y'all husband, because that's why I'm decentering men, because I do want a man still. Okay, don't get it twisted. Decentering men does not mean you want to be single forever. It means to love yourself and attract the right man, right? It means to, even if you get in a relationship with a man, that he is not the center of your universe. You have your own life. You're not dying without him. You're not having anxiety attacks without him. You're not starving yourself without him. You're not going crazy like that, okay? You have your own life. You got hobbies. You hang out with your friends still. You make time with your family still. You do not center this man around your whole life. A man should not be your whole life. He should be a part of your life, right? He should be an asset to your life. You should be an asset to his life. And y'all should have your own lives, bring them together, right? So I want a husband. So I know that when I'm dating, if he's telling me on the second date he believe in 50-50, he don't believe in no stay-at-home mom, it's stupid, this, and that, baby, you're not going to be with me. This is not going to work. Let me save you some time, save myself time. So, y'all, I cut that. I told him, we're not aligned, and that's cool, right? So learning to love yourself enough to start getting those people that are not supposed to be in your life out the picture. Even men, even friends, even family, all of that stuff. So, y'all, we got into a lot of stuff today. And the biggest point I want you guys to take away from this is to love yourself. When you love yourself, you will decenter men. You will decenter men. And that does not mean you don't want a man. That does not mean you hate men. That does not mean you need to be single forever. But it needs to mean that you are okay being alone and you're okay with who you are. And you need to love yourself for somebody else to love you. If you treat yourself like shit, you're not consistent with yourself. Like, you say, okay, I want to be consistent in gym. I want to be consistent with my goals. I want to do these things. But you're not doing nothing. Why would a man come in your life and do all these things? Treat yourself how you want that man to treat you. Once you start treating yourself the way you want a man to treat you and you treat yourself well, you're going to automatically attract the right man. You're going to automatically decenter in a way of not making a man your entire life. So anyways, y'all, I do want to do a part of the podcast where I close it out and I pull a card, y'all. These are tarot cards. If you do not want to watch this, you don't want to listen to this part, you do not have to. But I do want to pull a card just about what message I want to give you guys for the end of this podcast, like for the collective, when it comes to like self-love and decentering men and just like this topic, what comes out. I'm just going to tell you what comes out and then that will be the end of the podcast. So let's see. Oh, yeah, I didn't really shuffle and this came. Oh, a couple. Okay, y'all, two things came out. This is so interesting. All right, let me zoom in, y'all. This is interesting. I hate that my camera is overheating, but y'all, two came out and they're interesting ones. One says indulge. One says sexy time. That's interesting. That's different. Okay, y'all. So I'm going to just think intuitively. I'm just going to think intuitively with my message that I've been giving. Okay. Versus what I'm reading the booklet. I'm just going to tap in. So for me, when I see indulge in sexy time, that's a couple things. I'm going to think more on the self-love aspect. Indulge. Treat yourself. Hold on. Let me zoom in. All right. Whoever I'm talking to, y'all, stop having a scarcity mindset. Stop feeling like you don't deserve more or maybe you don't have it or you can't do it. Indulge. Treat yourself how you want to be treated. Act like the woman you want to be. Or if you see yourself in a certain position, start acting like that. Start seeing yourself in that position. Start treating yourself like, if you want to be a CEO, you think a CEO go question themselves about a $10 drink? Okay, so start investing in self. Start indulging, okay? The next one is sexy time. And y'all, what I get from this message with the messages that I am giving out today, I feel like sexy time with yourself. Not even with a partner. And if it is with a partner, that's okay. But loving yourself, what makes you feel good? Dress up. Go out.
go out, dress up, love yourself. Love yourself. Treat yourself. So sexy time can look like you dressing up for yourself, or you dressing up and going out and having a good time, indulging, feeling good, treating yourself the way you want to be treated. If you want to be treated like a princess, start acting like a princess. Start buying yourself what a princess would buy themselves. Start looking like the princess. Start. The key word of this whole thing is start. Whatever. Just start. So anyways, y'all, I'm just going to end it on that. Thank you guys for watching Less Trauma Bond. I'll see you guys in the next episode.